We got the button?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going.
All right. We're good.
So we would like to start the meeting, our regular meeting, Tuesday, July 20th at 5:16. Please stand up for the call of Pledge Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So this is the website third meeting with Mr. Ramos via conference online. So other than that, everybody's present, and Ms. Morgan, Ms. Mott, we have one public, and Bobby Zavala is here today, and both of our administrators are here. So here we go.
Okay. Item B, adoption of the agenda.
I'll move to adopt the agenda for the meeting of July 20th.
Second that motion. Aye.
Aye.
Item two, call to the public.
Oh,
Ms. Zavala?
Did you want to speak? No? Okay. Mr. Zavala asked me if he could speak, so told him if he could say everything he wanted to in 12 seconds or less, he was welcome to talk.
Brevity is not my strength. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to be here and personally say thank you. I think this is a phenomenal way to give back to the community. When I was approached with this back in February, March timeframe, some of you might know, I was actually in Tempe running a university. Had a really, really great job. But my heart is in Cochise County. My heart is still in Bisbee. That's where I grew up. This is where my family's at. This is, you know, we always, when you graduate a small town, you want to graduate and get the heck out of there. But inevitably, we always come back to
and
a small town.
And then you come back.
Right, we always come back. So when Mr. Macklin and Mr. Olmos brought it to my attention, I brought it to the sheriff's office, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm from there. I was there for 10 years, and I think I could do it. So when it was brought up and all the legalities were worked through and the finite details, it worked out really, really well. I think it's a win-win situation for the kids, for us, for the sheriff's office. I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that one thing about me is, and he had to keep me out here last night, I'm probably one of the hardest workers you're going to find, and one of the most loyal dogs you're going to find. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You have to tell me two or three times to do something, and I'll figure it out. But, you know, one thing that you will definitely see me here, and I think it'll be good for the kids and good for all of us, and keep us safe. Unfortunately, we live in a different country, in a different nation nowadays. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have to worry about the things we worry about, you know, shooting medics and shooting EMTs and shooting cops. And, you know, now we do, and it's a sad reality, but that's a sad reality. So I will give you my word, ladies and gentlemen, that I will do everything I can, as long as you guys have me here, to make this a safer place, a better place for the staff, the students. And I'm happy to be home, you know, a bit on the selfish side. This is my home. I love it. I just took my boy was here earlier, and I took him to a home that I lived in over by the gay 90s when I was a little kid. And he's like, Daddy, you used to live here? I was like, yeah. It's funny.
Welcome home, guys.
We all kind of come back home, you know. So I won't take any more time. I thank God that I'm here. I thank you folks for, you know, allowing me to be the guy that you chose. You could have picked any guy or any gal. So I'm very happy to be here, and like I said, my office is in the corner over there. If you guys need anything, please do not hesitate. I'm here for you. So.
Well, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Olmos.
I know you will do a great job. I can tell that from talking to him previously that his heart is in the kids. And that's why I strongly recommend Deputy Zavala over here. I'm glad to see this school district.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the sheriff was very much, when I talked with the sheriff, you know, Bobby was the guy that he recommended from the beginning, too, so it was pretty easy. We just had to go through a lot of hoops to get everything signed and had to eat a lot of Tums to get through the antacid and attacks I had from meeting with the sheriff's office. But we worked through it, and it's all good. And we started working. He's right now working on our emergency plan that has not been updated since 2013.
We've talked about it, but it's never actually materialized.
And, you know,
and actually, one of the things I've always been concerned about is the pods, if there was something active going on, because some rooms don't have exits. And so I know you'll be able to figure that out. So it's always been a concern. So. And we're on an international border.
There's
just so many things that are different here. That's why, for me, it didn't make sense to try to attack it when we knew we were going to try to go for an SRO and to get somebody. And so that's one of the things I talked to Bobby about, and he's going to do a little talking to different people in the public, too, to try to, because we need some safe houses for our, you know, escape things and stuff. So he's going to work on that, and then we'll keep you posted on. We won't necessarily tell you the whole plan, because we don't want everybody in public to know in case they decide they're going to come over and visit us.
That's right.
Anyway.
And testing.
It'll be worked on, and it'll be accomplished, and we won't have another seven-year gap.
We'll keep it up.
It'll get done.
Great.
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect.
Sure, do you mind if I cut out so you guys can do your business?
He's got a little bit of work to do, so I told him he could leave after he came. If he kept it short, if he talked too long, he had to stay till the end.
Came out.
Okay.
Bye, everybody. Thank you
very much. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, move forward to consent agenda.
Okay, so I apologize for the 3-mile-long consent agenda, but this is all stuff that you do every month, or we generally do well over half of this. We've been doing every January or February, and when you're doing financial things and signing credit cards and banks and things like that, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do it in January, because the people that have the power to do that, that the district invests the power, actually don't leave this until June 30th is the earliest anybody would leave. So, I mean, you know, unless, you know, one of us gets hit by lightning or something, who knows. But, I mean, that's the way the plan would be. So our discussion and plan is to try to follow that July deadline from every year now, and then keep it that way. And yes, we can have a changeover in the officers of the board in January, but generally speaking, there isn't anything that the officers have to sign for checks and bills and things like that. They sign up on the vouchers, and that's still okay. So we'll do this in July, and we can still do organizational meeting in January. And if there's some kind of a change later on, a year or two down the road, and the president of the board has to sign every check, we'll just go back to January and approve it then.
Well, some of it's just it's up to do yearly anyway.
Yeah, it is, and sometimes you forget. You got to go back. You always got to go back to a year earlier every agenda to just say, okay, did we do that or not? And sometimes you got to even go farther because you might have forgot to do it. So. There's a few new things in there, and I'll touch on those for you when we get to them.
Okay. So, approval of the minutes? Anything? Anybody have anything?
I have nothing on any of those three meetings.
Me neither. Mr. Olmo?
Nothing.
And we're going to
keep going.
Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't vote till after we're done with M or N.
Okay. Presentation of the June financial.
Yes, as you see on your packet, the first page, which is that one, right, the top line for expense vouchers of 321, that included our last payment for Bisbee High School.
Which one is the?
That's 321.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I kind of figured out what that was.
Yeah, that's what that is. So
the last payment?
The last payment. That was 306 or something.
I thought it was Miss Morgan's bonus, but obviously I was wrong.
No. She
wouldn't be here.
She already would have headed to the casino.
So other than that, it's pretty much tying up loose ends on the expense reports, vouchers, and down on the payroll. The one for 106, that included their end of the year money from the classroom site fund. That's why that went up a little bit, or, well, quite a bit. And then the rest of them are coming down. There's two July 29ths in there,
mm-hmm.
because they're for the paydays in July for the teachers.
Oh.
But we have to expend the money out of last year's budget. So that's why they're processed in June, but they will not be cashed until July.
That's the three.
Mm-hmm.
And with the vouchers, there's no surprises in there. It's our check, our stuff that we have to take care of.
Everything is pretty much normal.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Now, these are going to change in August or September. Does it change? Because now that the students will be back in school, we'll
the
probably
numbers?
Have the numbers will be changing in September, right?
The numbers of the
expenses. Of the expenses.
Well, they should be pretty much their normal ones. I mean, the gas and electric bill, water
everything
bill are pretty
mm-hmm.
much the same.
Okay.
Our
tuition, we know what it is.
Yeah, our Verizon bill will be $71 and change a month. And we have CenturyLink, all those. I don't know that too many of them went up in cost. I think our waste management bill did go up a little bit, $30 or $40. But other than that, everything else is pretty much okay.
The one that fluctuates most is the water.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
If the superintendent would just quit running the dang water all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then rain.
I know. Well,
blame it on you.
Now we're getting rain, so we haven't had the water. So
but other than, if something got increased by the vendor, that's the only reason why, some of the bills might be a little larger.
Okay.
I have nothing further.
Nothing further. Approval? Item C, approval of June vouchers.
Okay. Now, if there was any question on the vouchers themselves.
And everything's fine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm fine. I'm good with the vouchers.
Me too. Mr. Olmos?
I have nothing.
Okay. Okay. Item D, approval of the IGA with the Deer Valley Unified School District.
Okay. Deer Valley Unified School District, the international governmental, the IGA, the governmental agreement between our school and Deer Valley Unified. Deer Valley Unified has a CTE class where they do, everything. Like if you wanted to order stationery, Romero's Razzle Dazzle Nails, you could print it. Hand those babies out, business cards. They do bags. We're ordering, we're ordering, they don't look like this. They actually look very nice. They're kind of a pleather bag. But we're ordering them. They're going to have a red Naco Cardinal, and they're going to just go say Naco Elementary. We're getting them for the entire staff. There might even be enough for the board. So that it's kind of like one of those dollars and cent bonus things that we had. It's a one-time thing to try to be nice, and make people happy. And along with that, we're also planning to get a polo so all staff members can wear the polo on Fridays and we can look like, we're a team, because that's kind of our push this year.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys get, they basically knock out the middleman. They get wholesale prices. They do all the print and embroidery themselves. And then they send it to us, and they cut the costs from anybody that we can purchase from. So by having an IGA, we don't have to go out and get separate prices from 14 or 15 different vendors. They do all of that. And they'll do it at a cheaper rate than we can get from anybody. So not
Where
that we don't want
to
do local, but a lot of times when you're doing that, unless you have a huge number to order, it's really difficult to get a good price.
Right.
So
where are they located at?
Deer Valley, up in the Phoenix area, in the school district, and then they have a whole area of the school district where they do this, and then I think they have a building area, and then they have automotive. I don't remember all the different programs they have, but they have a whole bunch of different hands-on.
Like VICA and some of the things years ago they used to have. In the high school.
And I think, is it JTED, or there's a CTE program up north towards Safford or something like that, where they have, it's out of one area, but they go to many schools. They have different.
Yeah, Tucson. Yeah.
Yeah, and so and then they're just teaching kids a trade, and they also end up learning the management end of things and stuff. It's a great tool for them. It's going to give us a chance to save ourselves some money, and we'll still get basically the same type of stuff that they would get. If they screw up, they'll make it over, you know.
Good.
So. And this would be also like for students when they get their, when we have the shirts for the kids.
That's that we were just talking about. We're going to order shirts and have them, and then the kids can buy them just from the office.
Okay.
Instead of that online thing, that was a disaster.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Okay, I mean, a disaster is a nice way of putting it. It was horrible because they sent them to us in chunks, and some kids knew they were in and some didn't know they were in, and mm-hmm. we never really got a list of whose was what, so we couldn't even deliver them. So I just as soon order them, have them, you know, and all that, so the kids could have it. And we're going to get a shirt, Naco. I don't know exactly how the front will look yet, but on the back it's going to say it's not... something to the effect, it's not about who gets the credit, it's about what we accomplish. And I'm trying to buy into this whole team idea that we're trying to push for the whole school.
So you're
going
to get some for the teachers? We always used to buy for the teachers.
We're going to get polos for the teachers.
The board sometimes.
Yeah, we're going to get polos for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to get bags for everybody. And then for the kids, we'll order the T-shirts. And if the teachers want the T-shirts, they can get one too. I'm not going to probably give them all three things.
Right.
They'd rather have a T-shirt. I just like to have all the staff look alike.
Right.
So we have the ability to everybody wear their polos on Friday.
Right.
You know.
That'd be good.
I think that's kind of the hope.
That'd be fun.
Hmm?
Okay.
Black. Donna's hair does not go with a red shirt, so we are ordering black shirts.
And we just ordered red shirts two
that's
years
right.
ago. So
that's okay with me.
Yes, Mr. Almos. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Do they also have uniforms, sports uniforms, basketball, and soccer?
You know what? I don't know about that, but that would be something we would look at. Right now, we are in the middle of applying to the J.J. Watt Foundation for uniforms, and if that gets approved, they will pay for them. But we can certainly check with them to see. I don't know. When I talked to the guy, they did a lot of things, but he never said they did sports uniforms. So
and
I'll
are
check.
We going to do T-shirts? Are we going to see the logo before you print them?
Yes, I'm not. I will never be the person that designs anything. So somebody will have to. We'll have to find something that we want to use. So.
Right. It's on my face.
For what?
My face. You look.
That'd be nice.
So if anybody has an old logo that is really nice, it would be. If we have something that we can send them, that would be great. Otherwise, we'll kind of put people to work. And they can kind of come up with something in the office. I have what I want on the back of the shirt. I already have that on another T-shirt, so I'll remember to bring that.
Okay, perfect.
That
might
be, maybe that would work.
That's a good idea.
Allow
them,
like,
when the students come up with
maybe allow our eighth
well, that's
grade,
what we used to do.
Yeah.
The kids used to come up with the design.
That
we always had some artists on board.
Things,
that'd be neat.
To work on that.
I think we used to do like a contest, you know?
That's what... Ms. Ball said maybe the students could put together.
And then let's keep everybody, the teachers and the kids would all vote on which was the best one they thought that fit who we were.
We could easily do that maybe during that first week, have the middle school kids kind of get a couple of people together and do something for modeling the front of the T-shirt.
We have a lot of kids that are really art inclined also.
I think the older kids.
You went to school here too, though, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah, you probably remember when we used to do that kind of stuff, huh?
I think that'd be nice because I'm not creative. I'm all with somebody else design it. And I'm more the wordy kind of person. I know you guys have never realized that because I'm so shy. But
I didn't say anything.
Well, that's exciting. Good job. I think
all right. So anyway, yeah. So that's the one new thing that's not a rerun that's coming at you here.
Okay. Okay, item E, approval of authorized signatures for the National Bank Visa credit card for the calendar year of 2021 through 2022.
This is what we do every year.
Right, yes. This is the one where we have two cards. Donna has one and I have one, and then they both have limits on them. And so it's nothing new. It's just now we don't have to come back in January and do it again because then you do it halfway through each fiscal year.
Just a technicality.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Okay. I have nothing. Item F, approval of resolution allowing the district to approve vouchers for salary and expenses to be paid and approved at the next regular town meeting.
And that's another thing we always do. We usually, again, do it in February, but it just makes sense to do it for the fiscal calendar.
So can you tell us who is, some of these people are not here all the time, obviously. And so this is not our staff, they're not here all the time, right?
Or you mean the salary and expenses?
Mm-hmm.
It's just whoever happens to be on the payroll that time. So like if we push our meeting back to the 22nd, we may have a payroll on the 14th.
No, I'm talking about like who's doing the psychological, who's doing the special language.
Oh, you're ahead of us on the co-op. We're not into the co-op.
I'm just, yeah, I was just explaining number F. Letter F, sorry.
Oh, the vouchers.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, that's all right. I'll answer that, though, for you when we get to it.
Okay, that's a good idea.
That's just normal. We do it every year. Along with the next one, the signatories for the district
approval
checking.
Approval of the authorized signatures?
Yeah.
Okay.
The signatures at Washington National.
Okay. And then item H, approval of signatures for Speedway Field.
Those are all of the people. I believe there's seven. They each have a card that they get from Donna when they go to the gas station or they drive the bus.
This is the way Speedway gave us the cards.
Mm-hmm.
We have control over them.
Mm-hmm.
They have a PIN number when they go to the pumps at Speedway only, and they have to put in their code. So when I get the invoice, it tells me who's...
But do they each have a card under their
name? Each have have their own separate PIN. Mm-hmm. And I believe also when you go there, you have to punch in the miles.
But then they give it to you, right?
Oh, yeah. I keep them always.
Yeah.
They don't carry them with them.
Okay.
And when we started, if you used it, you got 10 cents off a gallon. I don't think we get that anymore, but that was when we started with them. But we can't get bids from gas stations. Nobody wants to bid to sell us gas. So this one... As long as we take it and we pay it right away, we don't have any interest. And so if Evan Hubbard he's driving a team to Sierra Vista and we need gas, he can drop the team off, he can go get gas and he fill up the bus or whatever and then go back. If we're, you know, using a school car for whatever, we can run up and fill the school car up, or when we run low on gas, Armando or Ramon can go up, put gas in the truck. And they all have their own card with their name on it. They get it from Donna. They get it. They bring the slip back, and they give it to them.
Okay.
That way we always have the receipt, too.
Mm-hmm.
It works out pretty good.
Okay. Item E, approve the list of sole source vendors for 2021-2022 school year.
Mm-hmm. That's basically the same list that you approved in February. I don't think anything's different on it, is it?
No.
And that just means that the sole source, you want to stay away from sole source vendors if you can, but in a small rural area, sole source vendors are kind of a necessary evil because you just don't have a lot of businesses that are doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't have bids and you don't have multiple things, you put that, we just have to publish that sole source list.
And a lot of these we've carried along.
They've been the same since I've been here.
All the utilities you have to put on here, because where else are you going to get your utilities?
Yeah.
Is Apple computer on that list?
They're not.
Yeah, they can't be. Anything that's got competition that you can buy from other sources and other sources will sell you, but these are just basically local for the most
local
part.
Vendors.
So in spite of the fact that Apple Education will always, always have the lowest price,
it doesn't matter.
You still have to get the
price. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Trust me, in Minnesota, we ordered and we knew we were getting the best price from Cisco, and our consortium ended up in court and lost about $200,000. You do not want to take a chance and just say, no, we know they have the lowest price. You don't know they have the lowest price because you didn't get bids. I learned a valuable lesson, even though it really didn't cost
very
me anything.
Okay, item J, approve the resignation of Nancy Ledesma.
She is the one we hired for junior first grade and resigned 2 weeks ago, but we were fortunate enough to fill her position, and I think we got a good person, so I think we're going to be okay.
Okay. Okay. Item K, approve the changing of classified pay schedule, pay scale to meet the law for changing minimum wage on January 1st, 2022.
So it's going to go up to about $12.65. When we get the exact amount, we will come back with the exact amount, but we're going to need to adjust all of those pay scales, and so we'll do that and bring it back to you. But this just gives us the permission to go ahead and make those adjustments and bring them back so that you guys have the exact amount.
So what is it going up to?
$12.65. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Big jump. It's 5.4%.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it might actually even be a little over that. You know, it might be to like 1268 or something stupid like that. But anyway, it's a significant jump.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, item L, approve surplus items to dispose of the finishing cleaning up our grounds and storage area.
Right. I have actually have pictures I took of the list. And then please also add the computers that what in the world happened there? Okay. So I'm going to just show you guys all this, and I'll try to make it so maybe.
So we don't have a list.
No.
I know. Okay. It's a picture list. Okay, that's part of it. Can you see it at all, Mr. Almost?
Bus barn?
Yeah, it's on the backside. Gotcha. Okay, it's got a broken water fountain, some three-legged chairs, a couple of broken other things. No, that was a water fountain, an old water fountain that doesn't work. That's just a picture from the front. It's just, you know, it was bad. Yeah, we're keeping the trailer. And then there's a broken cart, and then there's a broken color paper thing.
Really,
it's junk. We can't use it. So it doesn't do us any good. And I meant to have a list. Victor was going to do that for me, and he's moving his sister in, and he kind of forgot last week.
He got going,
so she's going to college. So he's doing his usual do something for everybody thing, and so I don't have that actual list. But I do have the list from Miss Morgan that I included in that right before you guys, that those two sheets you had.
Okay.
So those are the computers, the iMacs, the old iMacs.
And then those we donated, they're old guys.
We're gonna try and see if there's anybody, Boys and Girls Club or Wellness Center or something like that, that would take them and use them. But for our use, they're too slow. We're well equipped in the iMac lab in the elementary. We have 35 or 36 computers. I mean, we have more computers than we can put kids in there. And our teachers all have their desktop, and they all have their laptops. So there's no sense to keep the old ones. And, you know, to keep them around just to put in a room so maybe a kid's going to play with them, when we have to have as much space in every classroom as we can to try to keep the kids 3 feet apart, makes it more.
And the older ones are, they're so finicky, and they have to be kind of fussed over, and teachers don't have the time or inclination to do that. And they don't want to be calling Mr. Rodriguez or I every time this computer doesn't work the way the student thinks it should work. So they mostly, like a student would try and use it and it didn't work, and so it just sat there being a paperweight.
A little sad guy in the corner.
Yeah, and taking
kind of
space in the teacher's room that a teacher could maybe use otherwise.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Item M, approve the agreement between Public Consulting Group and Local Education Agency.
All right, so this is basically just a Medicaid approval. It allows us, if we have a student that qualifies, for us to claim Medicaid, so sometimes you get treatments, or it might even be counseling. And so sometimes we're able to claim it if we have a situation where we can claim it. If we have this form filled out, we can get reimbursed for a certain amount of money. And so you want to do this proactively. So that's all this is. It's just a form that basically says the district has filled out the correct paperwork and has the right to file with Medicaid if we have a legitimate expense. So it we did not file this past year. We might have a situation that comes up. And, I mean, honestly, now having Kristen in the office, that's a huge help. And so we may have, you know, we may be able to find some areas where we can get some funding that we wouldn't have in another case where we had just basically, you know, Don and I in there. So having another person going at it and full of energy keeps us everybody on our toes, I think, and it'll help. It's raining. It's supposed to start raining at
6 o'clock.
But
I wasn't sure if I was hearing things.
Yeah. My news said 6 o'clock, so it actually was right. So.
Hey, a little early. All righty.
All right.
Moving on to item N, revised special education cooperative agreement by adding counselor to the previous agreement.
Right. What we did, Carol Penix asked me before how we wanted to handle, because we have the ability to hire these individuals separately or through the co-op. And it's cleaner if we hire them through the co-op, because then we can charge everything off to special ed and it's clean and we don't have to prove anything. The other thing is, if you don't go through the co-op and you separately hire all these people, you are now hiring separate contractors. You now have more employees. And if you get over that 50, then all of a sudden you're a bigger employer and you have more financial responsibilities. You have... you know, the laws just change. The laws change, and it's a lot more work. So we want to stay under that 50. And so the gentleman that we'll have coming down was actually in NACO for quite a few years before. So he's actually only driving a very short distance to get here. So we had looked at it, but when our bill came in so low last time, if you remember, we were like $20,000 lower. We just figured adding that $14,400 to that was smarter, and then we had less hoops to jump through later. So that's why it's going to change, and since we're changing, we need to have the exact amount correct that we're going to pay them, so we're adding $14,400 to that.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through N.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 Okay. Gotta make sure it's screwing up here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. The old business is the second reading of the appeals process for early entry into kindergarten. Okay. As of yesterday, we received another a child who would like to appeal. So it's either two or three. Miss Elias couldn't remember, but she thought this was the same lady who came in last spring. But we didn't have the lady's name down, so now we do. So with that, we have to have a process. And one of the things we've talked about off and on, but especially at the last meeting, the last regular meeting, was to come up with an appeals process, so we had an evaluation process, and to follow that evaluation process. And in order to do that, we put together this list of things. And so I'll read through it very quickly, just for the public, and then you guys... as the board have the ability to do and say what you choose. The early entry into kindergarten protocol would be as follows. Parents must appeal that their child with a birth date in September, and it's very crucial that it's in September. It cannot be October 1st or 2nd, because they must turn 6 prior to October 1st, or we lose 2 years of state aid. Okay?
Well, wait, now hold it. You're saying that they must turn 6 before October.
October 1st.
So that's
correct.
Regardless of the date, but I thought we didn't get mandated and they're not reimbursing us if they're not Pittsburgh State.
Right, but here's the kick. Okay, so when we go through all of it, maybe it'll make more sense. But when we go to their, if they're in kindergarten and we accept someone that's too young,
right?
Okay, and they're evaluated and they're ready for kindergarten, so they come to kindergarten. Now they go to first grade. If we allow someone to come to kindergarten that's an October or November baby, okay, you have to understand you will not get state aid in kindergarten, but then you will not get state aid when they're in first grade either, because they have to be six by October 1st.
Yeah.
So that's why I worded this the way I did, that said September, okay? It has nothing to do with anything else other than that. It's they have to have a September birthday, okay? Because we were talking about a lot of different things. I know, like, we talked and different. Everybody had different ideas. Mr. Almos had said a kind of a window of so many days and things. We can have a window. We can have an appeals process window, but it has to stop at the end of September just because of that, okay? Because, we couldn't financially afford to lose 2 years, okay? The cutoff age for kindergarten in most cases would like to have their child tested to see if they show enough aptitude academically, socially, and emotionally to enter school at an early age. And as we said at the last meeting, and we had a lot of different points of view, and we got a lot of things out, you know, some kids might be ready early. Some kids are not going to be ready until, you know, they're probably in high school. I know Bobby Zavala today asked me, he read this, he goes, well, heck, I was still acting like a little kid and probably shouldn't have been in kindergarten when I was in junior high and high school. So, you know, I mean, some of us probably never grow up. But, you know, in sincerity and honesty, if we know academically, we've got a national norms test now. So if we take that national norms test, we can see, and we have, our goal would be to have all the kids that want to be tested come in the same day. And we would then have an opportunity to watch them interact socially and see how they handle the test and working with other kids and all that kind of stuff. So you get social, emotional, and academic. And then you have four people who have worked with younger kids. The committee that I have recommended would be our ELL coordinator, who also was the early childhood preschool coordinator last year in Sierra Vista, and our reading coordinator, who has been a teacher for 30 some years, and both of our kindergarten teachers. And then we take those four people and we go through and we do this test battery and all of the other little things. It probably takes about an hour and a half.
Like all three of these people or four people would be doing it together?
We would have all of the staff together and the kids together. Mm-hmm. And we would, you know, and I know with COVID maybe that might be a little touchy, but that from what I can see and what I've read, that would give us a better test of who's ready and who's not. The child's tested by the team. The majority of the evaluation team would decide if the child's ready or not. If it's a 2-2 tie, then the child's not ready. I mean, I think it'll be obvious. You know, can the child count? Do they know some numbers? Do they know their colors, shapes, things like that? They'll know. I mean, it's not rocket science. If you go through that national test, it's just the basic things. And then what we would want to look at is first, you know, does the student want to be in school? You know, I mean, you know, a lot of times you can probably ask them, you don't want to scare them, but we want the kids who want to be in school. We don't want to have somebody come that's going to go sit under Miss Motz or Miss Rhodes' table and cry for the first 2 months of school. That's not, you know, but that's because, I mean, we literally had that. And they weren't too young to be here. They were just not that excited. Second, is there available room? And that's really probably the more important thing. Do we have room in our classes? Right now we have 16 kids registered.
Total.
But we know that we won't get all the kindergarten kids until September.
Right. And
so
after.
So we will have to make a decision before August 2nd. So
well, what if let's say that we have our population, I think the state recommended a higher number, but our board in the past, we went with 21.
We've set 15 as our limit in kindergarten.
Right, but
that's
I'm talking
just
about
number.
General population.
Yeah.
So we set it at 21. It's not ironclad. It's not set in stone. You can. It depends on the situation.
Right.
But in the end, what if we get somebody from in district that comes in and their kid is old enough, and let's say they just moved here. Why are they late? I don't know. But what do we do if we don't have the room for them?
Well, that thing is, for me is like if you don't register your kid on time.
Right.
But
what if they got moved here? You just don't know.
I can tell you right now, we're going to have 30 to 35 kids come to our district, and we're going to have about the same number leave. And Ms. Morgan would know because she always has to change everything. It might be more than that every year, but it's somewhere in that neighborhood, I think it's pretty fair to say. So we know we're going to have a trend. Our hope is that they just come until October 1st, and then if they want to leave, they can go wherever they want to go and come back again next fall until October 1st again. Because we get paid our financial aid on how many kids we have in the door as of October 1st.
Well, like my daughter, and she came in kindergarten, there are 40 kids in that class.
Yeah, we had.
And that's very hard. And a lot of these kids are not used to it. They're not in daycare. They're not in Head Start. So they're not really used to, they can go take a nap when they want or eat when they want. And it's going to be hard for some little guys.
It's a change. It is. And that's why I say one of the questions I ask, and it may sound really stupid, but does the child want to come to school? I've seen kids, they're talking about going to school a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
And I've seen other kids that it's like, I don't want to go to school. I can't watch Barney. I can't do this. I can't, so... That's why the rationale for that question. But, I don't know. I think you see if they're ready. But it's the numbers, that's why we went to the half-day kindergarten, because we were getting, and Linda, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we figured when Linda and I and Aaron talked, we were getting about 2.5 hours of academics.
They get
and
tired.
The rest of the time we were trying to keep them excited, keep them awake, get them fed, get them to the bathroom. I ended up with 3 or 4 kindergarten kids in my office every afternoon after lunch.
They just
couldn't take it anymore.
Right.
And so it just didn't make sense to try to do the whole day. So we went to the half day, and we got 2.5 hours of solid academic and play, social-emotional things, social mainly. And I really felt like even though it's less time, we got more out of less time than we got when we tried to spread it out over the whole day.
Yeah.
And I do think, it may sound stupid, but I do think if we would go back to a full day, a nap time isn't a bad thing.
Right. I think it's a good thing the way that we're doing it half day, because some kids, it's like going to boot camp, and they're just not ready for the drill,
Well, and the hardest thing is some of the kids want to go in the morning, and
those
30 spots fill up.
Oh, yeah.
The first 30 people that sign up, 28 of them want the morning.
Right.
And two parents don't want to get up, so they'll take the afternoon class.
Right.
That's just how it is, so that those people that wait, they're going to be there in the afternoon.
Right.
And so that, like Brisa said, for me, until we get these people to understand that when we put this out here, we've got kindergarten roundup.
Mm-hmm.
We had free books and all sorts of stuff. And two kids showed up.
Wow.
We had a lot of nice stuff for them,
yeah.
And nobody came.
For the summer, you mean?
Yeah, and then...
Yeah.
And then
last spring,
right before summer. And then we have all this time for them to come and get their stuff. They've been able to pick up their packets, and they just don't. We're down... I think we have about 100 kids we're expecting to register yet that haven't registered yet.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have been registering every year since they were in kindergarten, and they're in 6th or 7th or 8th grade now. They just haven't brought their forms in.
Right.
But, we know who's going to come. We know how many are going to come late just because we have done it. But our numbers for the kindergarten, the first year I was here was 42, and this past year it was 38. Was it 38? I was going to say
38.
Okay. So, we've got solid numbers. So, I've got it figured out where we're going to be at about 45 kids. And so I've got the spots there. And I mean, if we go past 45, then we'll have to deal with it. But right now, that's the plan. And I have one-on-one pairs in the room with each teacher. And, you know, 15 kindergartners with a teacher and a para is very, that's a very good situation compared to what a lot of schools are in. So I think we're set up that way. I'll try to whip through this. Sorry, I got off track. Parents understand they're asking the district to educate their child, and if we don't get student aid, you know, the cost that we've talked about, and I apologize, the last meeting I said it was $3,000. It's really $1,450 of that. If we set a tuition, the tuition that I would recommend would be around $1,200 for the year. That's about $120 a month. I do think you'd have to look at that last month of May because we only go to kindergarten, I think, went.
So not charge the $1,450, but drop it down to $1,200.
I would drop it down to something under that. I mean, and I've heard, you know, the different concerns about, well, we should have done this earlier and all that, and I agree.
Well, that's true.
I didn't do this because I just didn't. It didn't. Last year we had nobody apply, and so I was late. So if anybody's fault, it's my fault. I'll get through it, and then you guys can talk and ask questions. Agreement between school district and parents would be drawn up. It'd be like a contract that we would have, if whatever the payment amount would be. If the payment were 2 weeks late, we would give packets to the student for up to 2 weeks, and if they didn't catch up with their fees, then we would just assume that they were not going to be back. There are no grants or scholarships. I think that if you do this and you set a fee, whatever that fee is, I don't think you have any programs. I think we give a lot of things away right now. And so I think it's valuable enough that if we have skin in the game, so if we set an amount, whatever that amount is, it doesn't make any difference if you are paying full price for your meals or you're not paying for any meals at all. We do a lot. I mean, your school, your NACO school, we should be proud of all the things you do for all the kids. Because there are a lot of things they do that there are a lot of kids who don't have to pay anything to go to school. And that's great. I mean, we want everybody to have, but in the same regard, we want to make sure people are responsible. That's my take off of that. So I would not recommend any grants or scholarships. Open enrollment students would be eligible, but they would be eligible following students that live in the district. And then it would also have to go with the testing and evaluation tool. The different things you have to keep in mind are tie-breaking scenarios, I guess I put. But students, you know, most, if it comes down, say we've got 44 kids signed up for kindergarten. They're all five as of September 1st. So we have one slot left. We tested three kids. We would take the most ready student.
Prepared.
That would be the 45. I mean, if all of a sudden we got five or six more kindergartners that showed up, well, we'd have another class. So then we could bring in, if the other two passed the evaluation, but they had lower scores, they would be eligible to come in. The problem that you have, just so you all, everybody understands, is as of August 2nd, we got 27 kindergartners. And on September 7th, we got 15 more. And then on September 12th, we get six more. And all of a sudden, we're past that 45.
And then they keep coming.
Yeah, and so we're in a situation there that if it's one or two more coming in, we would have to say no. I mean, if we got to where we could pay for a classroom, then we could say yes. But unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way. We don't get bunches, you know.
They trickle in.
Right, and that's where the hard part would be. I'm just saying this so everybody understands that, because I'll be the one that'll break the news to the parents, and I'll have Miss Elias decipher it if they don't speak English. But, I mean, I just want you to know, because you guys will be the ones that'll get the phone calls. You know, I mean, they won't be happy with me, but that's okay. Yeah, you're probably safe since you work in the tax department. Nobody wants to call up there, so you're okay. Students that are most academically, socially, emotionally ready by that assessment, we would take in that order. Students who live in the district first over the open enrollment. The ability pay would obviously have to be a consideration for depending upon what you set for that. And then you also have to understand that special needs component. And I left that in there just because legally that was recommended just to leave it, because that is a component that we would have to at some point, if it was a special needs student. We can't turn a special needs student away.
But I thought they weren't old enough, though, we're not going to get reimbursed for them.
That's where you actually do.
If their IEP.
We may, our goal in that case would be to get them to go to Head Start.
Right.
Or we have sent a student to Palominas, which is not a good situation.
No.
Or if we have to, because of the IEP, provide X number of hours, we can have them come to our school and be part of a class or in the special ed room or those things.
Even if they're not old enough?
If it's an IEP student and it's not, so wouldn't they have to be tested in order to?
Yeah, but that's where that IEP
is that different?
Trumps different things.
So
yes.
That would mean
but they wouldn't be a full-time student. They would only, we would meet the IEP needs. So if that IEP says we have to provide, say, like we have a student now we provide 6 hours to, okay? If the parents choose to take us up on that, we must provide 6 hours of tutoring and speech and OTPT.
So they could come in before September 1, and they're not 5 yet?
They can actually, a special ed student on an IEP
right.
can come in any time during the year, and you have to service them.
No, I'm talking about before the date, and they're not old enough.
Right.
And they're coming with special needs.
Right, but we would not take them as a full-time student. We would take them to cover the IEP.
It's a half day.
Right. I just want you to understand that we might have 45 kids,
right.
but if a student comes in on an IEP, we're going to have to service them. That may not mean putting them in a kindergarten room. It may mean being in a special ed room.
Not if they're not old enough.
Right. But
right.
but if we
because
are,
they still wouldn't, right. it wouldn't be fair for them to have the same parameters testing-wise with academics, you know, their what they can do. If they're already
if they're on an IEP, there would be no testing parameters.
Right,
they,
exactly.
You can't.
So
that's why I say I'm just telling you right now that somebody might say, "Well, you told me yesterday you were full, but now I heard this new student came 2 weeks later." Well, they did, but there's a reason they came in, and they're not full time and all that. But it has to be in there legally if for the agreement. It doesn't really trump anything. Because no matter what, we'd be taking that IEP student anyway, because we have to when they're between 3 and 6.
Okay. So is this going to be your supplement? Are we totally bouncing our policy that was accepted before?
No, this is an appeal. Right now, what you have is what's recommended by the state. That
right.
As of September 1st, they're 5 years old, or they don't attend.
So we're keeping that. And this
you
is
have,
our supplement.
You have that. That's on the books.
Right.
This is the appeal to that, which right now you really,
it covers
you really
everything
don't
else.
Have an appeal process. What you've had is they've come in, talked to somebody, a teacher has taken, given them a couple of questions, and then either made a recommendation to the superintendent or the board, and the board either said yes or no. Nothing consistent. That's why this, we need to, even if you choose no financial amount, we need to have the evaluation process.
Right. So you say that you don't want to allow, like there's no grants or scholarships.
Right.
But they could technically get a sponsor.
That's on there, not me.
That's,
I'm
on,
not
that's what I'm saying. They could have, technically, people that couldn't afford it, they could get a sponsor. I'm just going to throw something out there because I know somebody with the Catholic Church, like the Sisters of St. Agnes, for example. And they might, you know, be willing to sponsor a student.
Yep.
And so that's another option.
They could easily do that, but we would not
that'd be
the
on
ones
them,
seeking
though.
It.
That's, right.
on
that's between
yeah.
those
yep.
parties.
All we do is
yep.
just take the payment. And
all we do is
that's
take
right.
the payment and have them in class. Yeah, we're not going to be the middleman. So.
Well, and I think that people do understand. I know that, like I've said before, that people have been upset about this because a lot of grandparents, parents who live in this community don't have any kids in our system, and so they weren't happy about the fact that. They were paying for students that, and they weren't. There's nothing coming back, like property tax or anything to that effect.
Well, that's the
so
thing.
I think
no,
this covers it.
And it's not in this area only. It's
no,
everywhere. People are not happy for paying. If somebody that lives alone out in the boonies is paying taxes for a school that they don't even,
right.
they've never had kids, that we're always going to have that issue.
Well, and you
people don't
understand half of the amount of money that we run through our budget is for high school kids that go to Bisbee. It's not even us, but it's still when it's taken out of taxes says not go school
and it's
district,
the same
so.
Thing as us paying for students that didn't even come to Naco School, but yet we still have to pay their tuition at the Bisbee High School.
Right.
Exactly. It's the same thing.
We should be paying for our students. I've said that.
And to be honest on this, I would like to table it because I don't, if we are going to do this, I'd rather give it time and apply it till next year, but not this year because it was too short of a notice to add and delete and move and start charging people for something. I'd rather
they
just table it.
They won't be prepared. Well, have you had legal look at this?
I sent it up to Jessica. Jessica's only comment back to me was that to leave the IEP, because that was after our last conversation, that, and I sent it, and then I said that one of my board members requested that we take that out, and she said she would leave that in. She hasn't said anything else. You know, so it really just depends to us. What I would say is this, then. I would ask that if we table it, that we table the financial part, but we leave in the evaluation part. Because I think we need to have something.
Well, the thing is that we've always done the evaluation.
Right, but not.
Not
I guess
like
it would be my choice of how we set it up, because the superintendent has picked an evaluator. But I don't want to pick an evaluator. I would like to do it like this.
Well, see, my problem is that the kids can go to Head Start early on, you know, and if we table it, then that means that the taxpayers, I think it's been a long ongoing thing, a crux of people that aren't happy about paying for people, that there's nothing coming in from them. And so the question is, so you want to, like, not do this at all and just let it come in with the testing?
No, I agree with Mr. Macklin. Do it, but table the charging. I've been on the board for maybe 3 years, four years, I don't know. But we've always heard where people want to have their students come in or their kids come in at an early age. But see, all of a sudden, we're starting to charge. And that, I mean, we've always done the testing. And like you said, let's get the proper people to do the testing the proper way they're supposed to do it. But the cost-wise, I think we should table that part because just like from 1 month to another start charging, I honestly...
Are you talking about just item E?
Just the item E part. The item E part is the charging. I mean, like I said the last meeting we had, I go, we have a lot of people that are not going to pay. I mean, we have parents that, especially here in Naco, they cannot afford to pay $120 or whatever whatever we're going to charge.
But what about people don't live in Naco, don't pay Naco taxes?
But then they don't belong in this school. That's
an open thing.
Anybody that's here has to pay taxes. Yes, they go. That's the thing. It's never going to end. It's never going to. I mean, we're always going to have our students from Naco Sonora come to here as long as we have a parent guardian or a legal guardian with them here.
Right.
And that's the thing.
Mr. Almost wanted to. Go ahead, Mr. Almost.
So last meeting, I talked about I would like to not charge the parents anything at all, because my school board members were supposed to be here for the children, not for the money. And the money, in reality, the big scheme of things, is not that much. We're talking about a couple thousand dollars. It's not that much compared to the money that the school district gets every year. But I wanted to read you guys a section of the statute that we're talking about, which is an ARS 15-81. It says, if a kindergarten program is maintained, a child is eligible for admission to kindergarten if the child is 5 years of age. A child is deemed 5 years of age if the child reaches the age of 5 before September 1st. We talked about this, right? Of this current school year. A child is eligible for admission to first grade if the child is 6 years of age. A child is deemed 6 years of age and the child reaches the age of 6 before September 1st of the current school year. Now this part, this is the most important part to me about this subsection. The governing board may admit children who have not reached the required age as prescribed by the subsection, if it is determined to be in the best interest of the children, period. So, again, that goes back to what I said. We're supposed to be here for the children and not for the money. So I just want you guys to think about that. And I don't think we should be charging these parents money, because this is a public school, and I've never heard of a public school charging parents, especially kindergarten, to have their child attend school.
But that's because I'm just going by the policy and what the recommendation by the state was. I'm not trying to dog people and about the technicality of it, but I think that some kids aren't prepared for it, and I know that 1 year does help a lot, and they have the option of Head Start. And like I told you before, people have complained to me about the fact that we have continually let kids come here, and the taxpayers are paying for it, and not the family themselves have no monetary input or commitment whatsoever. And so that's my problem, because I represent the taxpayers, and that's who elected me.
I mean, we all do. We all pay taxes in this town. I know how, we all pay property taxes here.
A lot of our students don't, though, Mr. Olmos.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I understand you, Mr. Olmos, where you're saying not to.
Every child in this school district has either a parent or a legal guardian who pays taxes here.
No, and I understand what you're saying. I mean, so I understand what you're saying. We shouldn't charge, fine. But you know what? We are kind of losing money in some point, if you really think about it. So what I'm saying is, this is something that we really have to look into it. If we're going to do it, I honestly think I need more time to really think about it. And I mean, I do agree in charging, but we need to put it out there more, with more time, before a parent or somebody comes and asks to see if we can let their kid come to school at an earlier age. But I do think that we need, I mean, yes, we're here for the students. Yes, we're here for them also, and to help out the parents and stuff like that. But we also have a school to maintain, and we also have teachers that we have to help out as well. You know, and like you said, it's not much, but to be honest, it will help the school in certain ways.
Well, I just am worried, too, about the kids not being mentally prepared for
but
it.
But that's why we're going to have the evaluation.
But how do you know if they're potty trained? I mean, last year, I know that there were kids that weren't potty trained.
We have first graders who have first graders that are six, seven, and eight.
I mean, of course, if you're going to have the student come in and do a testing, you're going to make sure that they know how to be potty trained. And I mean, I'm not sure what comes in that test. I mean,
I'm not sure
that the student is ready to come to kindergarten.
Well,
but that's the thing. But like you said, we have students that are like already at age, and I feel bad. But they do, I even told my mom. My mom goes to the thrift store. Mom, look out for some jeans. We'll have them at the office. Because we have students that we talked about that have accidents and stuff like that. But, I mean, for me, table the charge and do the testing the proper way that we're supposed to do the testing, where that student is ready to come to kindergarten.
Yeah, an actual evaluation process is what we need to have. And that in itself, and the only thing I want to say, I don't want to say anything else after this, I just want everybody to remember, last year, our school district pulled forward between $40,000 and $70,000. A school district should be pulling forward a couple $100,000.
Right.
Now, we're going to be in good shape for the next 2.5 years because of what we've done with the ESSER funding and how we're shaping it. Okay? So right now, we're not going to be in bad shape. Okay, but also, if you remember, I told you what our goals were for spending was the long-range things. So it doesn't, and like Mr. Almost said, it's not a lot of money. But if we get back to where you're pulling forward $40,000 or $50,000, a couple thousand will make a difference.
Yeah.
So it's something we just need to talk about, and I think Brisa's got a reasonable thing. I just would really like to make sure we keep that evaluation process in there because that helps us make sure the kids are ready.
When they do that evaluation process, are the parents present or no?
Parents are not going to be in the room. If they want to sit and wait, we'll have them in the
because
cafeteria.
Because that's
going to
show whether or not they're...
If they want to walk with,
on
like...
Own.
Like
on their own.
Like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. say, Julie's bringing her son or daughter. If she wants to walk the child over to the testing, mm-hmm. she can do that, and then she'll leave. You don't have the parents in the testing room. Actually, it serves as more of a negative for the child. They need a little time to get used to everybody else,
sure. yeah.
right. and
okay.
then you get a chance to really see the child as the child.
Because that's what's going to happen when they walk away.
So right, so yeah. if mom or dad brings the child and they introduce them to everybody, it's good.
How many students cry when their parents leave?
So Brittany, are you saying that to...
and they're ready. Yes.
Are you saying that you want to make a motion to approve the evaluation, start the program this year, but not charge until the following school year?
Yes.
And see, here's the thing, you guys.
That's
hard for me.
Put it out
for
more time.
We have been doing this for so long, and it's been something that people complained about, and it's a double-edged sword. I don't think it's right to keep them from it, but I've always said, then if your kid's too young, go to Head Start. You know, then they could have the jump on things. A lot of them are prepared. Some aren't. But I still, because I do represent the taxpayers, I don't think it's fair for the people in this community to foot the bill for kids that are from this side, that side, or whatever, if we don't get reimbursed for the aid for it. Because I've been on this board twice. Two different times, we've been over $200,000 in debt. I came in at $200,000 because of something else that happened before, and then it happened again. But I'm just saying things can go wrong, and we don't pull enough money forward. And we have been dinged, you know, on our audit as far as the cafeteria, a lot of those things. So we're kind of hanging by a thread a lot of times, you know.
But
I don't think it's fair for the taxpayers to pay for kids that don't legitimately aren't justified to go here with no funds coming in from them. You know?
I know, but see, that's what I'm saying. It's yes, we should pull this, but we really need more time. We can't. I can't approve it from one month to another. I honestly can't. Those $600, I mean, that
money. Did your kids come in school early?
No.
Well, see, most kids, if you can't afford it, then they go at Head Start.
But see, okay, Head Start. But there's no buses. Sometimes there's no buses for Head Start. So
I thought they had a bus.
Not this year. I don't think they had any.
What?
No.
They didn't.
No?
They haven't had, for since I've been here, they haven't had one.
So what's the point?
They have to have somebody get them to the school. Drive them and pick them
right.
up and go take them. But see, that's the thing. It's like, but we do have students that are ready. We do have that kid that is, you know what, that my kid's ready. He's done it. He's going through it. And he's ready to do it. And yes, it is a loss if they don't do it. That's why the testing,
And I guess the other thing is this. We're not going to take kids in. If we're sitting at, we're saying we have 45 slots. And if we're sitting there at 44 or 45 slots, we're not taking anybody.
If we have slots,
we're not adding to our costs this year. I just mean in the future, you seriously have to think about it as far as in 3 or 4 years, the district could be back in a very tight situation.
What's a dropout rate in kindergarten as far as how many... Do a lot of kids fall out, or they're just not ready? I mean, the kids that are old enough. Do you guys really, your numbers stick pretty good?
We've had one or two kids in the last 2 years that have left.
Oh, really? That's it?
Huh. Yeah, that's it. I mean, as far as just left and not come back to school, but stayed in the area.
Because we have a lot of kids that have a lot of absences, too. Well, every time we have, like, a big drug bust, I mean, a lot of kids used to...
Every time you have a rainstorm, every time you have snow, every time you have wind, every time it's a Friday and somebody wants to go on vacation, every time we serve the wrong lunch at lunch, I mean, you name it, there's a lot of different reasons. But that's one of the reasons why when we went and we shortened Fridays so we could do our PLCs on Fridays, and that is because now our rate of kids coming to school last year on Friday was better than it was the year before. We had a shorter day every Friday. Kids came to school because they knew they were going to get out early anyway, so it was okay. Parents sent them because they knew they could still get on the road early in the afternoon. So this year we've got it scheduled so that we'll do our PLCs and everything like that at 1 o'clock. We have a lot of new stuff coming at the teachers, and that's going to be perfect timing for it. But We're okay for the next couple of years. But I do want to make sure. I've told you guys many times, when I retire and I ride off into that on that black horse with my white cowboy hat into the west, I want to make sure you guys are okay. And so this is something we do have to revisit. I understand where Bruce is coming from, and I do think that if you have time to visit and think about it, and I do think even if you set up something where you started at a low amount, so people got used to the fact that it was going to cost, and then you just slowly increased it each year till you got to where you wanted it to be. But I understand where she's at. I get it. I really think that the evaluation process is important.
Yeah.
And I do also want to say that when you do set an amount, there are no scholarships and there are no grants. It's that amount is what's got to be charged.
That's right, because I don't want to pick that.
The thing is, like, so it's $1,450, but you're going down to $1,200. Then you know what? If we give it enough time, and if we give it enough for people to see what it will be, if they want their kid to come in at a little bit earlier, give them the full amount. We're letting them come in earlier already, so let them pay the full amount. So that's going to be up to the parent or not, if they want to pay that amount for their kid to come to school at a little bit earlier than what they think, and then pass the little test that they have to take.
And I understand giving them more time. I agree. Like I said before, I think had we had nobody wanted it early last year and the year before that. We had one before I got here, and then the one that was when I got here, we denied.
And if you put this out there as of, say, for instance, in January or whenever it's going to be ready or whenever we decide, that way it gives the parent enough time to whether decide, okay, so do I want to pay this amount and have them go to kindergarten, or just drive them and go pick them up at the head start?
I've
been on the board a long time, and I know that this has been a bone of contention, and that's why, in my mind, the state recommendation, we can modify things that are handed down from the state, but I think the kindergarten is a big deal, and so I, in my own mind, feel that I like having the boundary of September 1st.
I know, but that's the thing. We've always had that boundary of September 1st, mm-hmm. but we've always leaned to...
But we've always let them do whatever they want, you know, too.
But that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
If we do have this contract, okay, we'll have the test, but as of next year, anybody that wants to come in at an earlier age will have to have this fee plus the test. That'll give them enough time to the parents
also,
to do it.
Okay, you guys go ahead and make your motion.
Sorry?
How about this? I agree with what Brisa is saying, but maybe later on, next time we discuss this, I have an option so that those kids that opt not to participate in the kindergarten program, the kids that do not meet the cutoff, I'm talking about the kids that have a birthday during the month of September, the following year, how about they get evaluated so they can go straight into first grade, because kindergarten is not a requirement. And kids that have I'm talking about those kids during the month of September, which means that they would have to have a birthday before October 1st. They go straight into first grade. That way, once they get into first grade, the school district starts getting that full amount of funding.
So you're talking about, you're taking them without the funding, is that what you're saying?
But that's the other part. It's just be a little bit more, to be honest, it just drags on and drags on, because are we going to get credit for this? Are we going to get credit for that one? No, let's do this and get the credit for that one. I mean, if we really just set it at a kindergarten spot, then I think we're set. I honestly think if we do set it this, okay, so this is going to be, we're going to try this and this and that, it'll be as of kindergarten, first, second, and third. Now, if somebody else comes in later on, you know, with the first grade, we'll handle that one when that one comes in. But I honestly think if we start with the kindergarten, I think it'll be better.
So, Donna,
make a motion?
Could you tell me roughly our budget? I said at the last meeting that we've gone up a couple million dollars in the last few years. Probably more than that, right?
No. It's our budget.
A couple million?
A little over $3 million.
Okay, so that's my other thing, is that just in the last few years, we have increased our budget from, what was it, $3 million to over $5 million.
No, it was...
$4 million and something, right?
Right now it's only $3 million, $3 million two.
Our total budget?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so what were we a couple years ago then?
Probably one and a half. I mean, you take out the Boothby tuition, we're just at $2 million.
Well, I'm talking about the whole thing.
All right, so we were probably down to about $1.9 million.
Because
you've got to remember they were a lot lower a couple of years ago.
The hardest thing to understand is this Bisbee tuition, because it's a weird, funky thing in the state. There are only a few schools that are stuck in it like us. But Bisbee tells the state, and the state adds the money to us. So it looks like,
but I'm just talking about our budget has changed lot.
But
in the last
it, I think, has to do with that amount that we're paying to them. And, I remember one of our first conversations was just about, let's make sure we're not paying for extra kids and how much money are we paying for this.
And how many are dropping out and not telling us.
Yeah, I know.
But had I not asked that question, Bisbee would never have notified us about any of that.
We got the lists, and so we were able to basically go down, and the kids that they gave us on the lists were right. And when we look at the numbers that they have, when we look at our graduates or whatever you want to call, when we promote the kids, the numbers are in line. They're slightly lower because some of our kids don't go there. Some of them drop out. Some of them go to Tombstone, whatever. But, when you have that big of a chunk of money in your budget that we don't get to touch that. I mean, Madonna gets to touch it because she writes four checks or three checks, but it's really not us touching it.
Right.
So it's really not fair for us to say, well, we've got a $3.2 million budget. I mean, that sounds great, but we don't have a $3.2 million budget. We have a $2 million budget.
Right.
Some of the funding from the state's gone up also, Don. Yeah. Like you had all that money that was to go into teacher salaries and to lower the number of classroom sizes, and all of that was given to the schools. So that money's come in that you used to not get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some different things, but I think the hardest part for people, and I know that you've talked to me about how people get excited, and they do, about taxes, but they have to understand that when they see NACO school taxes, all of that money is not just going to us. That's also going to pay the Bisbee High School. And there should be a separate line on everybody's taxes that say Bisbee High School taxes, but there's not.
Well, and you have to admit that it's just the pie.
Yep.
But NACO school is the predominant cost of our property taxes, and that is the biggest thing is NACO school. And did you know this? As I've been going, my kids were here, we've never had one person pay tuition that I know of, ever. No matter where they come from, what county, state,
everything's changing. So we can't stay in the past.
Well,
have to go with everything that's coming. Like Mr. Macklin said, we're fine right now, but we really have to think within 2 years. So in 2 years, we'll hopefully have this.
Well, all of the things that we're doing with this ESSER money and how we're setting and what we're putting in to get reimbursed for, all of that is to set you up so that the last year I'm here, we're still in good shape, and the year after I leave, we're still in good shape, and the year after that, we're still okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be a longer range plan. And so it's like when the teachers, say Miss Mott brings me in her purchase order for the summer, and she wants new shapes, new sizes, new flashcards, new this, new that, $900, $1,000, $1,800. I can't spend that money on every teacher. You can't have it. If you want that, here's a book, 42 pages, all the grants, look it up, file for one. Sarah Stone's a great example. Sorry, Sarah, you can't have that, you can't have that, you can't have that. Writes three grants, gets everything she wanted anyway. Great, more power to her. But we have to have something in moderation. So, you know, we have our we need this, and we have our we want this. And every 4 or 5 years you get something you want, but most of the time you get what you need. And we find a way to do it, or as teachers, we go out and buy it ourselves, because that's what we do. You know, and I know a lot of our staff does that. But, I mean, so when we look at dollar amounts, you know, we can say $2,000 doesn't mean much, but if I give $250 to every teacher, 10 teachers is $2,500, you know. So it all adds up in the long run. So that's why I say we need to keep an eye on the future and have that discussion. I don't think that if you're fine, the main thing I want is the evaluation part, because I think that's really important. Otherwise, basically, there's no sense that we can just take a kid, give him one worksheet, and say, yeah, you're in. It doesn't matter if, you know, you even know any of the numbers, letters, or colors. It's okay. So I think that evaluation part is important for us. So if you do nothing else, I would ask that we do that. Just that gives us something. So.
Well, and I just believe that the state mandate is for good reason, and I think that people should have some type of financial commitment or input, because most of us do. And so you guys can go ahead and do your thing now. That's fine.
Do you want me to do my thing? I can do it.
I mean, I think our discussion is over.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the early enrollment into kindergarten. However, would like to leave out the letters D, E, and F.
D, E, and F?
D, E, and F?
Yes.
Okay. I'll second that.
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Action item A, presentation, discussion, and it says possible vote, but we will have to vote. I'm removing the mandated mask policy. Governor Ducey has a new mandate that makes it illegal to mandate masks in school. I would like to leave in the motion that we highly recommend that our students in school and on buses wear masks to help protect themselves and others when they are not fully vaccinated. As a matter of fact, in the last 24 hours, I've gotten two articles, one from the pediatrics and one from the CDC, and both of them recommending that students in school and on buses wear masks. So legally, all we can do is recommend that they wear masks, but we have to remove the mandate. So I'd like to be able for someone to make a motion that we remove the mask mandate, but highly recommend that our students wear masks.
Well, I think if you run into a problem, the legality of the mandate, and is a recommendation. I still, you know, to me, the little tiny kids, and the good thing they only go a half a day in the kindergartners, because I think not getting the CO2 that they need, that's probably a question. And they turn them inside out and upside down and share, and they just don't know any different.
I'll tell you what,
but we just
our
do the
kids,
best we can.
Our
so.
Kids, Donna, Linda can vouch for it, Julie can vouch for it. Our kids were really good last year.
Wow.
I mean, you would have thought our little ones would suffer. I think, I mean, I know some of the adults suffered more than the little kids to keep them on.
But I think that's all we can
but
do.
We had
though,
to take Linda's
to
hands away from her.
Them, so.
She was okay then. If we still have a mask mandate as of our first day of school, then the governor has said he will sue you, so we don't want that. So we want to make sure we get rid of that.
Okay, so we're going to
recommend
it, but remove mandate.
So we're going to make a motion to remove the mask mandate.
I would like to make a motion to remove the mask mandated.
But we will highly recommend the students wear
it. Highly recommend it for them to wear the mask.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 Thank you. told you not to talk too much, Steve.
Okay. The two of you did get the booklet and the two other additional papers that went along with it regarding our audit.
And with that, I would like to say Mr. Alamos said that he has great faith in the two of you, and he is going to look at the audit when he returns, and he knows that you guys will look through everything and make sure it's done correctly.
Yes, I do.
But actually, this is just a vote on to it
myself.
Because the audit is complete for 1920, and it's gone
2020.
To the...
1920 was 19, the month that we
19
oh, 1920. I got you. Okay. Sorry, you said 1920.
Yeah,
I just, I'm old, but not
2019,
that old.
2020. Okay. We need to get you home to bed.
Yes.
It's been a long day.
And this black horse. Maybe testing you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in fact, the auditors, the middle of next month, of August, they will be back to start preliminary work.
Now, when?
In the middle of August.
Mid-August. Okay.
Next audit, which would be 1920, or excuse me, 2021. 2021.
I will tell you also that my recommendation will be coming to you before the end of the year that we will open up and look for a new auditing firm. And we'll just tell you that right now. Just...
A new auditor?
They spent. Mm-hmm. I would just say they.
These people.
Mm-hmm. If they spent 12 hours in our building doing our audit.
What?
They were horrible.
So is it like worse than Heinfeld and Meech?
Oh no! They, Heinfeld and Meech was at least they helped you and
well,
told
no,
you what
but, I
to
mean,
do. Yeah.
It's a random audit already, Tim.
I know.
And
I
they
know.
Were here for how long?
Well, they drove down from Phoenix. Mm-hmm. This is just one of their stops. They drove mm-hmm. down. They got here about 10:30.
Uh-huh.
They went out to lunch. They got back somewhere in between 12 and 12:30. They were on the road before 3. I think it was even before 2:30.
And we got these people cheaper.
And they kept telling us we weren't giving them things, and we had everything sitting there. It was just bad. Mm-hmm. So we will not. We signed a 3-year contract with them. They were the only ones to bid it because Heinfeld and Meech said they couldn't because they were. We will be opening it up and getting a new mm-hmm. auditing firm next year. But that's off the record.
Okay. That's terrible.
Yeah. So anyway, you got to remember, we pay here. We pay as much for 3 years as I paid, or for 1 year as I paid for 3 years in South Dakota.
Now, did you talk to an administration or somebody to that effect from this company? Because this is a big jump.
No, I will. Well, it's the same. Basically, that when we found out, Heinfeld and Meech basically charged. They all charge the same amount.
Oh yeah, but they were here.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They didn't come in and go to lunch right away.
Exactly. And you know when
it appeared better.
I mean, if you had the A team or the B team or the C team, but when you get the G team, you know, and then they're gone. That's why they're G. You know, it just I was really disappointed. So we will work with them this year. We will have everything ready for them. We will do everything we can. We are going to get a very good audit this year. I can tell you right now, things are so smooth right now. I hate to even say anything. I think we're going to be in much better shape. But these guys are, I've just been very disappointed. I had heard good things about this company, but...
Oh my.
So we will be opening it up again. I'm just letting you guys know because
you'll voice your opinion.
I sure will, and I will let their when they call me to, you know, I will let them know why. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
good job. That's all you can do.
So we need to accept the audit is basically what we're doing.
Like it or not, right?
Right.
Okay. I move to accept the audit pertaining to our. Dobridge and Company and PC and so forth.
I second the motion.
Aye.
Aye.
What's that?
What was your favorite part of the audit, Mr. Olmos?
What was that?
Did they call him in the bathroom?
I said, what was your favorite part of the audit? No, I don't think they ever called you, did they?
They did?
No, they never did.
And they did an exit interview with me. And they said, oh, there's hardly anything. We'll have 7 or 8, maybe 9 findings. They come back with 30-some findings.
Yeah. What?
It was.
They must have figured it all out whether they're going to hit you with it once or something.
It's like, holy cow. So, yeah, the guy, I don't know. It was
I've been getting a bunch of calls from Phoenix, but I can't answer the phone because I leave my phone in my room, and they don't leave voicemail messages. Mm-hmm. So
there's a bunch of calls coming out of Phoenix right now. If you're an AVS customer, I don't know if you guys are APS, but I get calls from Phoenix all the time because I'm an APS customer and some of us solar help or whatever.
Confused with somebody
I don't know. This guy was not good. All right. Let's see. I'm sorry.
Okay,
letter C. I told you that we found another person. We had a young lady who applied, but after we had already hired everybody. And so I mentioned to her that we might have a long-term sub position, and she was interested, and I told her I'd get back to her about it. And 2 days later, our junior first teacher resigned. And so I called her and had her come in. She sat with Ms. Martin and Ms. Mott and myself, and we interviewed her. And she, as weird as it is, she's been a high school and middle school ag teacher. I think she was meant to be an early childhood teacher.
Really?
I mean, I could see her getting eaten up and chewed up by the high school kids.
Really?
And she's just such a nice, kind, calm, soft person. Mm-hmm. And I think our kids will love her, but she's going to do a great job for us.
So she's going to be a long-term sub?
No. We're hiring her. We don't have a long-term sub yet for fifth grade.
Well, so Tim, how many do we have on our substitute list since
a new lady came and filled out the forms. So Miss Elias will be making calls to all of our subs along with her. So
okay.
I don't know right now, but we need to nail down a long-term sub. So I'm going to check with that lady that applied and just see if she's interested in a long-term. I don't know what her level is. I do have a long-term sub that was a 30-year first-grade teacher. She was, and she's retired. She's coming back to help us with our reading program. And so she's going to sub for Miss Martin, but I do not have one for fifth grade yet.
Well, that's okay.
So we will get it. We have about a month to get it ironed out.
So I'd like to make a motion to accept Amanda Tellis as our new hire for elementary.
Second the motion.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay. All right. And then the last thing that I have is, if you remember last spring, we moved Victor Valdez to technology position. And I believe we're going to have plenty of needs in the technology department this year with all of the new things and the TVs and everything else. And so I'm not planning on being able to steal him. And I'm going to ask that the board allow us to advertise for two paraprofessional positions. One of those positions will be covering second grade and one fourth grade classroom as a para, and the other will be helping us cover study halls and possibly either fifth grade or special education.
Okay, so we want for one para for second and fourth.
One for second and fourth.
And then we want for study hall and fifth.
Study hall and either fifth grade or special education.
Fifth or spring.
Right, and we will take this money out of the ESSER 3 funds for both of these, so it will not be something that we're going to engulf in the M&O. We will add this to our ESSER 3 funding that we had, we've talked about it at a couple previous meetings.
Okay.
So if I can get your approval, we will post those tomorrow and get those in the paper and see what we can come up with.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to hire sorry guys,
thought
I turned the dang thing off. Sorry, I couldn't even make it stop. I'd like to move that we approve hiring two more paraprofessionals.
Second that.
Aye.
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 All right. Don, you want to get your calendar up so when I get done with my very brief report. All right, so I gave you guys, and I don't know, I hope that I emailed it to you, Mr. Almos. I meant to. I've got five things to talk about very quickly. I I have, let's see, where do I want to start?
Can we have the report?
Huh?
Is this what this is?
That's part of it, yes. That colorful thing right there is where we're going to start.
Oh, boy.
All right? That colorful thing right there is something that makes Miss Morgan extremely anxious at times. That is
earlier.
That is our new middle school schedule. And I was just going to try to pull it. There it is. All right. And if you did not, did you get this, Mr. Olmos?
No.
Okay, I will email it to you so you can look at it. The kids are going to be on a schedule that's a little bit more like a college schedule. They're hour and 5 minute classes for the most part. They will not meet every day. The only classes that will meet every day will be the ELL classes. Those classes will stay at the same time every day. Otherwise, the students are going to be moved around, they will meet with their classrooms anywhere from three or four times a week, depending upon the teacher in the class. Our goal is to try to have 45 minutes of class each day. And so when you take that into effect, you're trying to reach a certain amount. So we tried to make sure they had plenty of math, plenty of English, and then they got their science, and then we filled everything in with social studies. So when you go through that, you'll see, just for instance, on Monday, there is the math teacher will have 8th grade A group, then they'll have both 6th grade groups, then they'll have 8th grade C group, then they'll have their planning period, then they'll have 8th grade B group. Go to Tuesday, and they're going to turn around and they're going to have the two 7th grade classes. And then they're going to have whatever the rotation is. I think then again they have 8th grade A and B. And then that day they have the lunch supervision. Okay? What we did this year was we broke our classes down. We will not have a junior high class bigger than 16 kids. Huh. We're going to go three sections of 8th grade. We're going to go two sections of 7th grade and two sections of 6th grade. With that said, we obviously couldn't have a 7-period day, get everybody a prep and do all of that, so we had to be a little more creative, so we did. We did that so that our classes will be easier to manage, we'll be able to have better one-on-one time, and hopefully when the students that really need the help, they're able to get more help because there are less kids in that class. We also have taken in the 8th grade, and we put students into a A, B, and C, but the A group, we took basically the top 16 students in the class, and we put them in that class, and then now they're going to have some accelerated classes. So I think that this helps us get our kids better prepared for high school, and
they're kind of complicated, though.
I will say this: if you're a teacher, some people like it when it's always the same and it never changes.
Right.
Okay. Well, the beautiful thing of this is you have 5 different days.
And so this, though, it's different every day.
It is different every day. So.
But the teachers have their planning period.
Always have their planning period.
And they're okay with this.
They will know on Monday what we're doing, but they knew that what the teachers told me was, and this is the middle school, of course, they really like the longer class periods because when you have problems in class, it's usually at the beginning and the end of class. Oh. So if you're not having if you have 8 classes, you start 8 times, you end 8 times. So now you have 16 problem periods, okay? Where now we have 6 classes, longer periods. Once they get into it, there's more time to work on things. And this is what the teachers liked. When they get this schedule, it's going to take a little while for them to absorb it. Mm-hmm. So, and I think once they try it, they're going to like it. But it's like anything else. If Risa's always had a chocolate ice cream cone every Thursday after supper, and they're out of chocolate ice cream cones, but tonight
get vanilla.
Tonight they have chocolate and they have nuts in it. She's going to have to accept it's going to be a little different. But if she tries it, she might like it. Okay, well, I think when the teachers try it, they're going to like it. And I'll tell you what, I think the kids are going to like the fact that I don't always end up with Miss Horton's seventh hour every day.
Right.
You know, by the time I get to Miss Horton's seventh hour, she's grumpy because sixth hour made her mad.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I think they're going to like a little variety. And they also all get, you know, they get their PE, they get all their academic classes, they get a study hall, we get ELL, and we have computers. So we're able to get all that, but they don't get it every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I thought at first until I really eyeballed it.
And then the Thursday and Tuesday
are similar.
5 minutes.
Right.
So probably Friday is like the one that's
out of
okay.
the sun.
And Miss Morgan had something to add. She was my most leery person, so.
May I?
Oh, yeah.
I just want to say, as chaotic as this looks and feels to me, I'm looking at it like this, that we don't have a whole lot to lose. We may as well try something wildly different and
this
see if it works. So,
well, it's wildly different.
But it's very colorful.
It's the junior high only, right?
That,
right.
That's just 6, 7, and 8.
It's like
yes.
a quilt.
So I think there are, like I say, as fruit basket upset as this looks, I think we may as well at least try it, and there may be some really good things about it, some things that work out really well.
Well, I'm sure, because preparation for high school, maybe this will have them more not as locked into our little comfort zone down here.
You know, and like Julie said, I guess, you know, that's the old definition of senility or whatever the right word is, but if you keep trying the same thing and expect different results...
Right.
You know, you're not going to get them. Insanity.
Yeah.
That's
right.
The one.
That's
you know, and so...
Actually, Einstein said it.
Yeah.
Do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results is insanity.
And we're not getting the results we want. We're not getting the results with Azella. That's why we turned our whole ELL program and we're following a different model. I mean, we're trying everything right now. So, you know...
So you're going to get the kids, every one of them...
They're all going to get... Yeah, they're... Well, what will happen is each kid's going to get their schedule that's going to... You know, but they're going to get a copy. They'll have to get a copy. You know, each teacher will have a copy of this. And then I think what I will do is I'm just going to take and I'm going to cut and paste this. And it's just going to be like 6A on Monday. These are your classes.
Right.
On Tuesday, these are your classes.
I couldn't pull that out of PowerSchool.
Oh, look at that. See?
There you go.
I tell you.
With the kid's name on it.
Kim X.
The first time I showed Julie this, you should have saw her eyeball.
I bet.
So now she's on board. I like it. Yep.
She had a little time to adjust.
I'm willing to try it.
So, no, and I think Julie's right. I mean, whatever we have to do, if it's best for the kids, let's try it. And we need to get better results. So if this will help us, wonderful. Okay, so that was the first thing. Let's see. We are doing a book study. You guys already know because all the board members got their book, but we're doing a book study on the energy bus. Part of that whole team and positive energy and all that kind of stuff. Hope you're enjoying your read if you've had a chance to do any of the reading. What in the world did I write there? We got our students all put into classes today. So that was nice to finish. I told Donna my goal is to do one big thing each day and then just keep trying to make progress. I told you we've ordered bags and we're going to order polos and we will order T-shirts as well. I think that idea for the contest for the kids is a good idea, and we'll give the kids you know, the first few weeks and order the shirts probably like around the 1st of September, right before Labor Day, so we get a little extra time. And let's see, we are also working on an after-school program. Part of that $1.1 million that we got goes to, we can spend it for after-school, summer school, extended day programs. I'm not a fan of extended day. Extended day only means we're going to basically open up a daycare system, and you want to drop them off at 6:30, go ahead, and we'll just have somebody here to take care of them. I am a fan of the after-school program and having activities and some tutoring and some extra time with ELL and reading and math and all that. So we'll work on...
So what is that time frame, Tim?
I got to be on the big screen at the Diamondbacks game and got our $1,000 check. I will bring it... forgot it in my daughter's back end of the car because I put it in there.
You forgot
the
about this?
No, I brought the check. I just forgot the big cardboard thing, you know,
wow.
That says $1,000 to Naco School. And I would just tell you this. Some of the people that work at the Diamondback Stadium are idiots. Because there were seven schools and groups there. And Naco was A, the easiest one to say, and B, the only one they screwed up.
What did they say?
Jim Macklin from Naco School.
It sounds like Naco.
How the heck do you get that?
That
the guy
before.
Asked me, he goes, is that Naco? I go, yeah, Naco. Like taco with an N. Okay, so he tells the guy upstairs, Naco. It's like, good Lord.
Naked Naco.
Anyway, so we got our $1,000, which will pay for some of that grass seed that we've bought over the last few months. The field, you know, parts of it are green. And then we've had those monsoons that have just raised havoc with parts of it.
Oh, they just killed it, or
you know,
it just
washed it away. You know, so I don't know. It looks better than it did. Certainly looks better than it did when we were trying to kill all the weeds. But those darn weeds are tough. They're coming back. So
they're determined.
The kids are done working. I will tell you that was probably the best thing that we did. Armando, everybody just said how much work they got done. It was amazing. They came
TVs
in
are up? I mean, not TVs. The boards are up?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right? They've been up. Well, they better be up because we're getting trained on Monday. So.
When y'all are
yep.
done, we can
boards are up.
We'll turn one
on. LEDs. We are, all of those projects that we have right now in the ESSER funding, we are going to run through the SFB board and see if SFB will pay for them. If SFB will pay for them, we'll buy other things with the money from ESSER. If SFB doesn't pay for them, we'll buy it out of ESSER. So we are doing the LED lighting, the HVAC systems,
plumbing or hot water.
The hot water heaters, and
doors. We're doing doors.
Well, we will be. The long term thing is to start working on a roof for that building.
Yeah.
But you know the crazy thing is, with all of the rain, and I do mean all of the rain, I walk through there every morning when I get here between 5:30 and 6. And there's no drips. I can't believe it. Two years ago when I was here, there was water running down the walls.
And you haven't done anything to it?
Mm-hmm. No, nothing. Except we had a bunch of people go up there and look at it, and they were going to give us bids, and none of them did. One did.
Maybe they stomped on it.
It's been better than the grass we had growing out of the corners.
But, I mean, yeah, we had. I mean, it was crazy. So anyway, that's my report. So Donna has given me the Tuesday dates, and she's crossed off three of them, so you have one. No. We have the 10th or the 17th of August that works. The 10th is out.
Do you think the 10th is too soon for the start of school for you guys to have your stuff ready? Or
not the 10th.
Not the 10th, okay.
So
how about the 17th?
I can't.
17th, all right.
Yeah.
Mr. Almost, is that a test week for you, 17th?
No, the 17th is fine.
Okay.
Are you
all
sure?
Right. So we'll
if something happens with him, we can always revisit it, you know,
right.
too.
We'll
just call it tentative.
August 17th.
August 17th. Meeting for August 17th.
We can call it tentative unless something messes it up for you.
At 5:15.
Yeah.
Okay. We have anything else?
It's because I'm going to be a Rocky Boy. Yeah.
When?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, guys.
Oh, you mean on the 10th?
From the 6th to the 10th.
You might not come back, man.
You can find somebody. Yeah.
I'm going to draw my.
All right. You're going to. Anybody want to adjourn?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second that motion. 7:05.
7:04.
04.
Hi.
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 Did I make a motion?
7:04, right?
Yes.
Okay. My phone does say 7:04. I'm looking at that thing from Kahe.
Yes, and Barista seconded it.
Are these the IMAX that we're
going to
all right, thank you, Mr. Almost.
I can find
you need to buy a razor, young man.